Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Hello and welcome to The Bistro. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Elena Spinola. A smart speaker is a type of wireless speaker and smart device that utilizes Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and other standards to extend usage beyond audio playback, and they are dramatically affecting the daily lives of those who use them. You've probably heard of Amazon's Echo and Google Home, for example, and in this fast-growing market, there's no doubt about it. There will be more to come. Today, we're excited to speak with Tom Webster, Vice President of Strategy and Marketing from Edison Research, who will share with us the latest findings in a study called the Smart Audio Report, which provides insights on the impact these devices are having in our lives. Tom, welcome to the Bistro. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So for anyone that is unfamiliar, can you explain what a smart speaker is and what it's capable of? And also, what is the impetus for a study like this? How many participants were in the study and how was it conducted?
So a smart speaker is a really simple concept in a way. It's simply an appliance that recognizes your voice and will conduct computing tasks based on how it understands your voice. And that's technology that's been around for a little while, certainly with things like Siri. But when we started thinking about these devices, we had the theory that they actually could genuinely change behavior because they're so frictionless in their use. And we believe that we might see new behaviors emerge, old behaviors strengthened, and different media consumption patterns emerge as a result of these devices. So we decided to study it in conjunction with our partners at NPR with kind of a two-part process. We conducted a significant national online study of 1,600 adults 18 plus, half of whom owned one of these smart speakers. And right now that's the category defined by the Amazon Alexa suite of products and Google Home, with some other entrants coming soon. And then half of those respondents did not have a smart speaker, but we probed them for their interest in perhaps owning one in the future. And then we supplemented that with some ethnographic research. We actually moved in with 15 different families across the country who owned a smart speaker and kind of watched them in their environment, asked them questions, and watched how they used them.
Oh, wow.
So we put all of that together, and that really gave us just a great picture of not only what people were doing with these devices, but why and how they really felt about them.
Gotcha. Wow. So you actually moved into these homes to watch them in their daily lives. Fascinating.
We did, and we didn't get any restraining orders or anything.
Excellent. Well, many consumers think about smart speakers as this cool new novelty that gives them the ability to ask questions about the weather or traffic or random questions that they might otherwise, you know, Google to get the quick audible answers. But, you know, they play music on them, they listen to podcasts. But your research shows that smart speakers are helping families do much more, really changing habits and behaviors, like you mentioned. In what way?
Well, it's almost like a thousand little paper cuts, if the paper cuts were pleasant. Because when you first purchase a smart speaker, you know, most people tell us that they wanted to buy one for, you know, a handful of things, you know, generally audio related. And certainly their initial use case is as an intelligent speaker. But once they actually got into people's homes, they find themselves doing more and more little things. And it's not any one grand thing. It's more gradually seeding more and more things to the devices, like laundry timer and kitchen timer and checking the weather and things like that. We gave participants in our quantitative study a whole list of activities, dozens of activities that they could regularly do now that they own a smart speaker. And the average number of tasks that people do from that list is 7.5, so nearly 8 different tasks. So while they got them primarily either for voice search or to listen to music, they're now using them for all kinds of things, including, you know, news talk and getting the traffic and shopping and things like that. And as a result of that, we asked this question. We asked people to agree or disagree. Would they want to go back to life before they got their smart speaker? And 65% said that they would not want to go back to that life. Now, presumably, these are people with the disposable income to buy a smart speaker or more.
Sure.
So their lives probably weren't miserable before they got them.
Good point.
And yet they don't want to go back to that horrible smart speakerless life. And it's because really just how day-to-day useful they are for the littlest tasks.
Yeah. Well, with that list you just shared, it gives me some other things to think about, timers and things like that. I hadn't even thought about that. So earlier you mentioned Siri on the iPhone. How are smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home different from Siri?
You know, unless you own one, you might understate this, because on the surface, things like Siri do the same thing. But in practice, I'm not going to say that we humans are lazy, but we enjoy default behaviors. And the fact that these appliances are always on and always listening, and there's not the additional friction of having to pick up your phone or have your phone near you. And in fact, both the devices that we have in our home are pretty attentive no matter where we are and understand us pretty well. That ability to do that without any friction involving the phone whatsoever begins to encourage their use, and it makes them sort of default second nature. So there is a significant behavior pattern difference from having these devices, and I think that's why you're seeing Apple developing their own audio-specific appliance.
Sure, and more to come, I think, from a lot of different sources, probably. Your study found that the use of smart speakers were also more than just information sources, but that they provided interactive and social environments in the home. Tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, one thing to point out about these devices, amongst the people who own them, 42% of smart speaker owners own more than one. It's actually pretty remarkable for a brand new category and a brand new device that people have already purchased more than one of these. You certainly don't see that with things like fidget spinners or food processors or things like that.
Good point.
People want these devices. They're useful, and they're useful in all aspects of the home. For people that have one or more than one, their single or primary smart speaker, people tell us it's generally kept either in the living room or in the kitchen. A little more than half say it's in their family or living room. And another quarter say that their kitchen is where their primary or single one is. Mm-hmm. But again, with more than 4 in 10 having multiple devices, they're in the kitchen and in the living room. And what's interesting about smart speakers, computing companies have been trying to get computers into the living room for decades. And there are dozens of failed attempts at that, from web TV to you know, all kinds of different devices. People have been trying to get computing into the living room. But all that these devices are, you can think of them as an expensive speaker, but what they really are cheap computers. And
sure,
this is, in fact, getting cheap computing into every room of the house and making them more and more part of people's everyday lives.
Interesting. You mentioned earlier that more than half of those using smart speakers every single day don't want to go back to life before using them. I mean, that really says a lot about how helpful they are. Let's talk about the ways people are using smart speakers to manage their home.
Sure. So one thing we know about smart speaker owners, about a third of them have some kind of smart home devices in their home. Now, they may have had them before they got their smart speaker. They can certainly use things like smartphone apps to control them. But certainly these devices make it even easier. And what we saw in our ethnographic research was that once people began to learn about smart home capabilities that could be controlled by their speakers, they did research. They looked into it. And certainly there are a lot of costs involved in doing this. But the great thing about smart home technology is it's fairly modular, and you can kind of upgrade it a light bulb or a socket at a time. And we definitely saw people interested in doing that. Certainly the primary things right now that people are doing are home lighting and the thermostat. But we do see some things like outdoor sprinklers and outdoor lighting and even home security.
I see. Now, and adults aren't the only consumers using smart speakers. What did the Smart Audio Report find regarding children?
Well, we learned some things here. First of all, parents that have children living at home are much more likely to own a smart speaker compared to non-parents. And one of the, again, the primary reasons why people bought them were to listen to music or to do voice search. But what we saw once these devices got into the home, we saw a whole raft of behaviors that we haven't really seen in a while. First of all, we saw families listening to these devices together. Now, we've just come out of a kind of 10-year period of white earbuds in everybody's mm-hmm. ears and sort of private listening. But this was absolutely social listening to audio, which, I like to joke that we haven't had families gathered around the radio to listen to a show together since the Palmolive Beauty Box Hour of 1938.
Right.
But we saw families do this in our ethnographic research, and we certainly see that parents are much more likely to say that that these devices are a huge part of their lives. 8 in 10 parents, in fact, say these devices have made it easier to entertain their children And nearly 90% say their children enjoy smart speakers. And we certainly saw with some of the families that we moved in with that it frees the parents up from having to make entertainment decisions and use technology to do that, rather than having to get, you know, your mother or father to get into their laptop and get into Spotify or Pandora.
Sure.
The child can simply ask for the song that they want to hear. And that's become a major time saver for parents.
Absolutely. Well, if you had moved into my home, you would have found me to be one of those 8 and 10, because that sounds a lot like my house. So it sounds like parents were initially interested in the entertainment value, like you just said, for the children when they first purchased the smart audio device. And then they found value themselves in the other helpful capabilities like securing their homes, adjusting the lighting, etc. What future enhancements do you predict smart speaker devices will allow?
Well, there's sort of two major enhancements, I think, that are, you know, as software gets better and as the processing power gets better in these devices, that represent really exciting things. I think one is in terms of media, and that is to have truly interactive media. And we're starting to see some experiments with that. I know there's a show that's produced by the BBC, which is kind of an interactive interrogation, as it were, where you're asking the smart speaker questions and it's responding as if it were being interrogated. It's a super interesting fiction experiment. But the ability to interact with the audio that you hear, you know, imagine if you're listening to a news report on a flash briefing, maybe it's from NPR, maybe it's from another news source, and you hit a term or a concept or even a country that you don't know much about. And you could stop the speaker and say, "Well, stop, tell me more about Andorra." And that's, you know, I think that's going to be on the horizon, where we can actually kind of tease out more information about what we want more information about and skip over those things that we don't. And then the second thing is, I think there's going to be more and more e-commerce possibilities with these devices. Right now, we are seeing a little bit over half of smart speaker owners have used them to purchase something. And we also see that people who own these speakers, whether it's the Amazon line or the Google line, are about a third of them are saying they're spending more with Amazon and Google as a result of them. But I think we're really just scratching the surface on being able to hear tailored messages, tailored advertising, be able to interact with those messages and get deals and products that we're interested in right away with no friction.
Sure. Well, very fascinating. I'm excited for the future of smart speakers. We're almost at the end of our time here. We talked about families using smart speakers. We talked about children. What did Edison Research find regarding the use of smart speakers with millennials?
Well, really quick, one fascinating thing. What we see with these speakers and these devices is audio of all types is being consumed more as a result of having them. And in fact, that's true whether it's news talk or music or podcasts or audiobooks. Smart speaker owners report listening to more and more of those types of audio. And that is true on the young end as well. We had one young man who was a 20-something engineering graduate student who listens to the news flash briefing every day. And he admitted to us that he had never really listened to news talk radio before. And so now we have a millennial listening to news audio, which is a habit that he had never had before. And that's because it's so fun and easy and interesting to use these devices.
Sure, sure. Well, Tom, thank you so much for sharing all of this great information on smart speakers. This has been a really fascinating discussion. And as I said, my family has one. We love it. Where can people find more information about this and other studies by Edison Research?
Anything we do publicly is available at edisonresearch.com, and that's where you'll find our smart audio report and any number of other studies that we've done.
Excellent. Okay, well, Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
The Better Business Bureau is deeply committed to building and advancing a better marketplace, a trusted marketplace for all, because trust always matters. For the Better Business Bureau and as your host of The Bistro, I'm Elena Spinola, and I thank you for listening, and I encourage you to give us your feedback on this episode. Until next time, it has been my pleasure discussing better business with you.
You just enjoyed The Bistro podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com, and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.